Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
All right, so it's great to see you. It is great to see you. I'm happy to be here anyway. I love to be in worship. I love to be in that place, you know, where you just get that sense of the beauty and the glory of Jesus, isn't it? Because it's just like this incredible thing where whatever's going on in your world, it's just like you feel centered when you're in the presence of Jesus. You feel absolutely centered. So those great truths that you sing over yourself are powerful. Do you know that? And actually, whatever is going on in your world today, understand this, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And that's just not something that we say as believers. Actually, that is the truth. And when you gather here this morning, already in your life, there's been things that have changed. Because as you worship the Lord and you put your hands up, you know, he works on your behalf. You don't need to work hard for the Lord. He loves you. All the work has already been done for you. Isn't that good? And so all you have to do this morning is to rest and to receive. All right? And as you worship and put your hands up and you listen to the Lord, all you have to do is to receive this morning. And so what I said last week, I mean, see if you think about it. I was talking about a house of grace because that's surely what this church is and what we're part of and what we're called for. And I said that last week, I want you to capture something because one of the things about understanding how much more grace there is for you is understanding that whenever you are simply the, whenever your mindset, I'll tell you what happens when people first receive grace. They're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. This is the best thing I've ever heard. You mean Jesus is not angry with me? He actually really loves me. But what about all the times I mess up? That's okay, that's covered. Isn't that awesome? And everyone goes, yes, that's fantastic. And then, okay, so I can actually be healed and I can be restored. I can be physically well. Yes, but what about those times where God just, you know, gives you a wee touch of sickness just to keep you in line? Actually, that's not the gospel. That's complete nonsense. That's man-made religion because every time Jesus sees sickness, he heals it, all right? Remember, I've been encouraging you to look through the lens of grace and tell me what grace does to transform your world. What lens are you looking through to interpret your world? Look through grace and you'll see what Jesus wants to do with your life. Isn't that awesome? And so, but the other side of it is that once you are in, like, as we used to say years ago when I was growing up, when you're saved and in the meeting, right? The good brethren, boy, for a period of time in my life, and then the Lord saved me and sent me to the Free Presbyterians. And you think you've had it rough? Listen, years of counseling later, just kidding. The thing is then, you realize what I described last week is it is really important that you get the same view of what we do here in church, right? Because we're going to be talking this year. I believe that there is five times more blessing because that's what the Lord is saying around the church right now, isn't that right? Around the church global. It's like, can you believe, will you believe for more than what you have now? What is your view of God? That he just blesses you so much or that there's an abundance? You know, Jesus didn't half heal. Jesus didn't give just a little and then say, well, when you're better or when you're, you know, every time somebody came to the Lord, he overblessed in one sense. It's like, it was, you know, not just enough, it was like more than enough. And so the thing is that in our world, I'm going to show you today, and I really want you to listen in because I believe that the Lord is saying to you that we all need a bigger view of what the church is for, all right? And as soon as I start to mention that, I said this last week, we all have our experience of the church, and most of it is fairly colorful, if I would say that way. But let me tell you this. I said in the middle of last week, I said that you cannot experience grace upon grace outside of the church because there is an anointing and a calling on the gathering of God's people as the church. And you will find a grace in the church and experience a grace in the church that it is not possible to find outside. God TV is brilliant, but God has put you in family. Do you get that? I honor all those ministries, but we sit under a ministry, even in this church, where the head of it is a pastor, all right? A pastor, because we believe in the church. We believe that all the ministries that God gives people find their place under the shepherd, and that's where the fivefold ministries work out. Oh, I'm not gonna, but now the bottom line for me is this. I go, look, I just had this thought last week. I said last week that God gives answers and blessings for your life through the church. You come under divine protection in the church and covering when you're in a church community. I said God uses other believers to bless you and to help you and to drive you nuts as well. Anyone? Right? Everybody's normal till you get to know them, all right? That's all I'm going to say. You receive supernatural wisdom and guidance as you listen to the preacher. That's true, isn't it? John Ortberg wrote a book like that many years ago. And what's interesting is I said to you that let's make no bones about it. There's the church is described in two ways. You're part, well, as soon as you become saved and into relationship with Jesus, you're part of the church universal, all right? Right? For all time. But Jesus says this, as you are impacted in the church universal, it should, and this is, I'm going to say, true believers then have a heart for the local. Because what God says is, I put you in family. Now, the thing is, in the middle of Colossians 1, where we have the preeminence of Jesus, and Jesus is this, and Jesus is the beginning and the end, and we all go, yes, amen, isn't that awesome? And then I showed you last week, right in the middle, he says, and I'm the head of the church. So let me ask you a question. Why on earth? You would need to be completely bonkers. Why would you want to build your life outside of that which Jesus says he's the head of? Because when Jesus talks about headship, it's not like just position, all right? Like I'm the chief. What he's saying is headship is about authority. Do you understand that? So every time headship is mentioned in the Bible, it's a place of authority. And whenever Jesus is in the place of authority, then everything that is Jesus's flows to you. Because if he is the beginning and the end of the church, the gathering of God's people, if he designed it right from the very beginning that you would find safety and protection in the gathering of God's people, and he says he's the head of it, it's because where he's the head, all of his life is found there. Do you get that? It's not just a title, and it's not just people who are randomly saved. It's the gathering of God's people. And now, let me ask you the question. Don't have this church as an afterthought, because we are called to bring this gospel, this wonderful gospel of Jesus, this wonderful gospel of the fullness of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the completeness of healing to Belfast, even past Northgate, or what do you call it, Yorkgate, even away even as far as Ballymena, if the Lord tarries, brother. I'm only joking. What does the Lord tarry mean? They used to say that to us, and I still don't know what it means, if the Lord tarries. What does that even mean? Is it in the Bible? If the Lord tarries, brother, it'll... Revival even at Ballymena, hey. Amen. Do you have faith for it? Yeah. Good for you. And so do I, all right? So what I want you to think about, because it's like, that's why the church matters. Jesus is the head of it. Are you, honestly, think about it for 1 minute. You can be blessed and find encouragement from lots of places, but the anointing of Jesus himself as the head is the church. We need a big revelation of this. We need a big part of this. We need to actually say, Lord, show us why this matters. Why would my life, why would you ask me to build my life around the gathering of God's people? Because half the time they do my nothing. Don't look at me like that, all right? Actually, you're thinking, no, half the time you do my nothing, Pastor. No, they're great, but see you're in Egypt. All right, yeah, I'm used to it, all right? Okay, so let me show you today. I'm going to show you from the old and from the new. I'm going to show you from the old and from the new that in the church, with Jesus as the head, is the answer for everything that you need. Because I said last week, I absolutely believe that we're living in the last days. See, when you look at the world, and does anyone think the world is rapidly becoming more and more crazy? Anyone? Like there's things, yeah. I mean, it was my birthday this week. Thank you very much. Happy birthday. And I'll be passing a hat around later. And what I noticed was, I was thinking through in my 30 short years that I've had in the world, right? Plus fat. And, right? 30 plus fat. Yeah, well, I'm not going to, how much fat? Zimbabwean fat, it's about 3,000%. And the thing is, right, I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, I was reflecting on my birthday going, isn't it amazing how things have changed even since I was a young lad? I mean, part of it is funny, and then part of it's not, actually. You know, when I think about my own kids and what kind of world they're growing up in, and then I have to go to the Word for answers to that, and I have to go, God, if you're the head, if Jesus is the head, then the answers that I need are found in here. And you know that there is protection and safety for you? And goodness for you in this church that you'll never find outside of. There's a big, bold claim, not mine. Jesus is himself. So I want to show you, I've done part of half of this talk before, but I want to refresh some people's memories. And then I want to show you into the new, how it's exactly the same. Let's go quickly though to Zach. What's going on in the world right now? You know, can I just say this? There's nothing that is a big surprise to Jesus today, because he told us from the very beginning what to expect. And then here's the thing, just think about this for the Lord. Whatever you have a need for, it is already met. Do you know what I love about the church? There's such security there. Because when you are in a place where Jesus is exalted and Jesus is high, no matter what it is, he's already met that need with his supply already. And he shows us that right back from the very beginning. He goes, look, I know what it's going to be like as we head towards the last days, right? Read Romans 1. That is exactly what's going on in the world today. We don't know about men, women, this, that. It's just bonkers out there. What's true, what's not true. Isn't that right? I was reading yesterday, I was listening to, I'm a Radio 4 guy, don't judge me. And it's an age thing, all right? And I was listening to some guy going yesterday, pretty much we're not even sure if we're going to get through the 21st century because there's going to be some massive plague that that medicine can't. And this was a serious guy, apparently. And I was going, man, you need Jesus. What a depressing way to live. It's like, yeah, I think we're all going to be dead by 2050 and there's not much we can do about it. I'm thinking, why do they give these people airtime? They're clearly crazy, all right? But listen to me. Don't be surprised, all right? That's why we need to have a view. And I want you to think about the people in your world, because we're going to start to preach about how grace, through the lens of grace, every area of life is covered. But let me tell you this, you need to think about the people who you know and love, because their place of safety, protection, wholeness, redemption is the gathering of God's people, not outside of it. Not outside of it, it's not possible. Why? Because Jesus says so. Don't get me wrong, he loves you. And you'll go to heaven, but life and life in its fullness is found in the church. And that's a big stretch for some of us because the church is hard. And I'll talk about that. You know, when people go, oh, the church is hard work, I go, have you ever led one? Tell me how hard it is again. Okay, why don't you lead it for a couple of months and then come back and we'll have a cup of coffee. Then you can tell me what hard is. But that's just my world. So let's read in Zechariah 6, okay? Then I turned and I raised my eyes and looked. How do we interpret what's going on in the world around us? I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. But the first chariot were red horses, the second chariot were black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and I said to the angel who talked with me. Now this is Zechariah, a prophecy in Zechariah, mirroring that which is said in Revelation when Jesus opens the seals and these things come onto the earth, okay? But actually seals, okay? That was a joke. Then I answered and I said, it was quite a good seal impression though, let's be honest, wasn't it? Then I answered and I said to the angel, I've been practicing that all week, and seriously, he didn't hardly laugh. Will I do it again? Anyway, Jesus, take the wheel. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, these are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country, the white are going after them, and the dappled are going towards the south country. What on earth does this mean? And why does it matter to you? Because you need to have, church, we need to have a view on two levels of what goes on in the world today. Right? Because everything that we see in the world, this is why the church is such a strong place, because we don't need to be afraid, because the Lord already showed us what the issues were, and then he showed us what the answer was, so that you could live safe and sound and secure in troubled times. Isn't this good? Because what do these horses mean? The white horse here, I'm going to go pretty quick, it's about false doctrine. That means, how do you know what is true? How do you know what's true? I mean, anyone stands up today and says, I know what's true. What happens? I'll tell you what, go onto Twitter and go, I know the truth, and see how well you get on. All right? There's no such thing as truth today, is there? Truth is completely and utterly relative. Objectivity's gone out the window. Let's not be afraid of this nonsense, okay? You've got the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, aletheia is the word for truth. He said, you'll know me, aletheia, and you will be free. All right? But that's what this white horse talks about. The red horse talks about war and division, right? Isn't it interesting today? We have more division today. Do you not think, look at Northern Ireland, as fractured as it's ever been. Why? Why do we look to carnal, natural politicians when the problem is spiritual in these end times? War and division in people's hearts, right? Never mind Brexit. Never mind Donald Trump. I mean, the world's going crazy, right? Tempted to say something. The black horse talked about here is lack and poverty, right? Isn't it funny? Technologically most advanced. We're able to do things which actually on Radio 4, when I listen to them, my head starts to melt. I think I don't even understand what they're talking about. But we have increasing levels of isolation and lack and poverty and all this stuff. Isn't this crazy? And then the last one is the pale horse, which is all about disease and death. And it's kind of funny. This is the stuff that people worry about today, isn't it? So here you have Jesus way back in the beginning. In fact, the Lord right back in the beginning going, this is why I need you to gather together. Because when you gather together, I have a grace for you, which will keep you safe and protected in the times that you live in. That's why the church matters. Let me tell you why. Let me go all the way back to Numbers 2. I'm going to give you two quick examples very quickly. Now, some of you will know this, but some of you will not. So let me just say it quickly. Because it has always been the Lord's heart to put you in this family. It's always been the Lord going, see your family and your people, bring them to the safest place to live in these times. Because of these spirits that operate in the world, because our battle is not flesh and blood, it's principalities and powers. The Lord, why are we surprised? The Lord already said, people will not know what the truth is. There will be war and division and lack and poverty and disease and all of that stuff. But I have already given you the safest place to be, and I'm the head of it. Jesus, the name above all names, I am the head. It is the gathering of my people. It's the church. Isn't this awesome? So let's go to Numbers 2 very quickly. Pull it up in your Bibles. But what had happened here is the children of Israel had been delivered from slavery, but had not yet reached the promised land. This is God's people. So they'd seen a part, but they're on a journey. This is like your life. You're on a journey right now through your world. Now, God gives them instructions. And he says to them, at each stage of your journey, do what I require of you. All right? And so there's this kind of thing of going, you know, you can be uppity and downy all you want, but when the Lord says, this is my idea, get on board with it, all right? Like, you'd be crazy not to. I'm the head of the church. I tell you what, Jesus, I'll play with the church and it'll be me plus you. He goes, no, I'm the head of the church. Ecclesia, local church, that's what he's talking about, all right? I'm the head of that. Build your life within it, all right? Now, he gives them instructions on their journey, and this is why he gives you instructions as well. Do you know what the word numbers means in Hebrew? It means wilderness or barren. This is really interesting. So historically, what we find, this bit of the story fits in between the Exodus when they leave and then the revelation at Sinai when they receive the law. And what happens is they're entering, making preparations to enter into the promised land. They're in Moab when this happens. So this is a 38-year period. And the reason why they're going around in circles is because of their unbelief, okay? So this barrenness described in Numbers, which means barrenness, is because they didn't believe God. And so they keep going around in circles. And so I could spend some time. When you moan and groan and complain and gossip and gripe, there will be consequences. You will go round in barrenness. Because this is what they did. The Lord delivered them, sent them on a journey, but they yapped and complained and moaned and groaned. And hey, guess what? They were barren. Just going to leave that one with you, all right? They moaned against God and they moaned against people. And the result was God saying, I've got so much for you, but you know what? You're going to go round in circles. Now, what happens is this. You know, this is a time where I'm encouraging you. What is your five times more? What's the Lord showing you in pictures? What are you believing for? Yeah? Hope you're really asking and pressing into the Lord in that. Show me what it means for me and show me what that blessing looks like. But I have encouraged you that whenever you're on the move, whenever God's on the move, you're much more liable to spiritual attack. That's what happens. As you move towards the promises of God, you have an enemy. He's called the devil. And what he does is steals, kills, and destroys. He steals, kills, and destroys, not God. So anything that steals from you, destroys you, or tries to kill you is never Jesus. It's always the enemy. And as you move towards the promises of God, particularly because the Lord's speaking to us, is anyone excited about five times more? Really? What the? Flip me. I'm not really sure. Flipping Nora. The God of all heaven says, do you have the guts to ask me for it? Well, go for it because I am willing. I'm not just willing, but I am able to deliver. Right? But what happens when you start to move? Because this is what happens with these children of Israel. They start to move. And what the Lord does is understands that people, when they're moving, particularly in groups, are at their most vulnerable to attack. You get that? Because you can hunker down. This is what people do. You can hunker down and put protection around yourself. But when you start to move, there's always those bits of you that are open for somebody to attack you. Let's read it together in Numbers 2. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying this, the people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard with the banners of their father's houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Those to camp on the east side towards the sunrise shall be the standard of the camp of Judah by their companies. The chief of the people of Judah being Nashon, the son of Him, his company is listed as 74,600. Those to the camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. The chief of the people of Issachar being Nethanel, the son of Zuar. His company is listed being 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, the chief of the people of Zebulun being Eliab, the son of Helon. His company is listed as being 57,400. And those listed at the camp of Judah by their companies were 186,400. Okay. What on earth? Let me tell you, God is working in every single detail of your life. And oftentimes when you're on the move because the Lord is saying, will you believe for more? Will you stand? You don't see sometimes the wood for the trees. We lose perspective. And sometimes God asks you to do things which with your view, your natural view, make no sense at all. But his view and his perspective is always completely different. So let me encourage you, what is your view of the church? Because when the Lord says, build your life with in that place where I am the head, with your view, whatever that may have formed that, okay, you might go, nah, I'll take my view. But his view is always different. That's where we trust. Yeah? Because he's looking at it differently. Let's have a look. You may not fully understand what God is doing in you right now, or why he asked you to trust him. But you do need to go in all humility before Jesus. You have a different view than me. You have a different view than me. And when I don't understand, I will do what you ask me to do. That's how you know grace is working in your life. Now, there are two things at play here. It's about your blessing. That's also about your part in the bigger picture. Because what happened here was what we've just read is we see that the way the Lord asked them to camp as they moved through the desert was around the tabernacle. I've preached on this last year, right? Literally, God said, put me at the center. Put me at the center as you march. Now, the Levites were the people who ran it. There was like the high priest and then the Levites who served the high priest, if you like. So there's a bit of a difference between them. But essentially, that these people were not like, it wasn't like gathering for church. This was life. So they were raising their children. They were doing business together. They were looking after their animals. They were doing everything that you would do normally. But the Lord said, as you move through to that place of promise, which I have given you, then do it this way. Why? It was primarily about their safety and protection. Okay? Because they lived in troubled times. Whenever that the enemy came into these guys, it was rape and murder and pillage. It was no fun. From the very youngest to the very oldest, murdered and slaughtered. So they had to have a good ear for what the Lord was saying. And I bet you, because there's hundreds of thousands of people here, about 600,000 men mentioned, never mind all the women, probably a couple of million in total. You know, you imagine being somewhere down the pecking order there. You wouldn't have the first clue. We're doing this, really? What for? Because your man says so. All right, dead on. Right? But they did it. Now, what is really interesting is this. When God said, here, he says, when you camp like this, your enemy is out there, but I want you to turn your back on your enemy and I want you to face me at the center. That's what church is. All of those things that the Lord said in Zechariah 6 and Revelation would be going on in the world, you are not to face them and fight them and battle them on your own. In your life or in anyone else's. What he says is gather together the way that I talk to you, the way I say, and then put me at the center and face me. Now, what's interesting is this, that whenever you turn your back to your enemy, in the natural, you are now in a place of weakness. Because when your back's exposed, you don't even see them coming. Is that right? We were laughing last night. We were at having a birthday party for me. Did I tell you it was my birthday? No? Did I mention that? 32, and my granny used to have a saying, because she was a wee tough Belfast one, right? She used to say, do you know what? You might be bigger than me now, son, but I'll get you when you're sleeping. And I used to sleep with one eye. I'm a granny, so you know what I mean? It's not brilliant, it was only that. You know what, son, you might be bigger, I'll get you when you're sleeping. Talk about fear. Anyway, the point is, right? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't make any sense. Turn your back on all of those things that are going on in the world, right? Now, they're still in the world. Turn your back on them and face me. Why does he ask them to do that? Because here's the most basic point. If I am facing Jesus today, and my focus is him, my attention is him, when he looks at me, he's looking over me to see my enemies. If I turn this way and I face my enemies and I've got my back to the Lord, that's a problem, right? He says, turn this way, face me, and I'll face down your enemies for you. That's a good word, isn't it? So let's have a look at it from God's perspective. So to the west here, this is what it would have looked like from up above. Have a look. So in the west, you'll have Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, 108,000. To the east, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, 186,000. Dan, Naphtali, Asher to the south, 157. Reuben, Gad, and Simeon, sorry, to the south. And here we see in the Old Testament where Christ is concealed, but in the New Testament, he is revealed. Because you know the way God is not subject to the things, he's above everything. We say the Lord's above everything, he's above it all. Look at what the Lord sees whenever he looks down at the gathering of his people with Jesus at the center, because at the very center of the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant, the beautiful picture of Jesus himself and his redemptive work, right? So the God who's above it all, the God who can see it all, every detail of your life, every minute, every second, he's above it all. He looks down and he says, get into the church, the gathering of my people, because from my perspective, as you put my son at the center, all right, what do you see? You see the cross, all right? It's like that. I let my imagination run wild with scripture here. My life is hidden in Christ and God. Can you imagine being one of the 186,000 on the south? Being hidden in there, feeling like nobody sees you and whatever, but I'm hidden in here. I'm hidden in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Right back to the old, when you gather with God's people, what would it be like? The equivalent for us today is 20 of those people going, this is dead on, but you know what? I'm going to just put my tent 500 yards here to the side. I like this better because those people are crazy. All right? Do you get me? I don't need to over-egg this one for you. This is why it really matters that you build your life around Exchange Church. It matters to the Lord. Because from his perspective, when he looks down, he sees you in a place of safety and protection with Jesus at the center and Jesus staring down your enemies. Now, let me go very quickly because I'm going to show you this in the new as well. What do they do at the edge of each of these four blocks, if you like, of people? Right? Isn't that amazing? They had no idea. just think right now. They had no idea what they were doing, really. They just get these instructions, do it this way, do it this way, put the tribes in this order. Don't have time to go into all that sort of stuff, right? And from God looking down, he goes, there's my people in the cross, completely safe and protected. There is not one time recorded in the Bible or in history when on this journey from there to there, from the Exodus to the place to Canaan, where they camped in this way, that they were ever attacked. Go find me it, it's not there. Isn't that amazing? When there were hundreds of tribes wanting to wipe out God's people, every time they journeyed and camped this way, they were completely safe and sound. Isn't that amazing? Now, what happens is this. At the end of each of these, what did they face out with? Well, they faced out with Jesus. So they would raise a banner at the end of each of these four blocks, if you like. And each tribe had a different banner. That's why the Lord said, put them in this order, all right? And what you see in Revelation is it's the four faces of Jesus. From Revelation. I love this. If you don't know this, you can go and read it. And it's the cherubim in Ezekiel as well. You see the four faces of the cherubim before the throne of God. And it's the four faces of Jesus revealed in the New Testament in each of the Gospels. All right, so you have Ephraim, that tribe. They put the ox up, which was about strength. That's the book of Mark, right? The servant, one who would come and carry the weight. The tribe of Dan would have the eagle. Eagle means power comes down from on high. This is Jesus in the book of John, represented that way. The tribe of Judah would have the lion, the king of kings. This is Jesus in the book of Matthew described that way. And then Reuben, that tribe, would have the man, which was Luke, all right? Now, why were they put that way? So you think you camp and I put that face of Jesus pointing that way. Let me go back to Zechariah 1:6, verses 1 to 6. The white horse, false doctrine, attacks the east, which is the lion. See the way the Lord's got every detail here? The red horse, which is war, terrorism, division, that same spirit which separates, attacks the ox. The black horse, poverty, famine, economic turmoil, comes from the south and attacks, and that's the face of the man. Then the pale, the dappled horse, death, attacks from the north. Death always comes from the north, right? And that's the ego. Every time the devil comes to attack us, this is what he sees. He sees one of the facets and the faces of Jesus. So no matter where you find yourself, okay, if you're in the church, the Lord raises a banner over your life, and whatever way the enemy comes to get you, you are safe. Is that not good news? You're safe. Why? Do you raise a banner? No, it says the Lord raises a banner. And whatever the attack is, there is Jesus to meet exactly what you need. That's why the church matters. I absolutely love thinking about this. I love thinking, Lord, that is why people today in these times need the church. For all the church is messy and people are messy, God knows there's not a perfect one of us here, right? But God has this undeniable, unending belief that we are safer together, safe and sound, where Jesus is the head. So we see that in the old, okay? And that makes sense, right? What about the new? It's not really cool. I've done that in more depth. But if some of you, I just knew this morning, I thought, I need to cover that again because some of you haven't heard it before. But I want you to see how God doesn't change this, because people go, oh, but what about the New Testament church, brother? This is where we don't need the church. We're just meeting each other's houses. And do you know all that stuff? Can I just say, the reason why, do you know, sometimes I chuckle, because the reason why the New Testament church met in houses is because they would get killed if they met out. So I kind of go, oh, you really want to have a New Testament church? Yes, brother, I just read it in Acts, and that's what just the Lord showed me. Okay, so do you want to get killed then? Who's going to kill you if you know what I mean? It's just bonkers, right? So when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 were added on the day. The Lord loves influence, and he loves big. Let's not be kind of a wee bit bogey about that. He loves influence. 3,000 were added. But what about these same things that today we... I want you just to see Jesus in this, because it's the same Jesus in the old, in Numbers 2, getting his people from slavery to freedom and saying, on your journey from slavery to freedom, do this and you will be safe. Go outside of that, it's all bets are off, right? He loves you, but there's protection. That's why I say there is a grace and a protection and a safety in the church. And we might not understand it spiritually, but that's the way that it operates. For all God knows my journey with church, all right? And God knows it well for Penny and I. We have always built our family around the gathering of God's people. And believe you me, there's times I could have seen it far enough, really far enough. But I have this undying belief in me that this is the place where, like the way the Lord says to me, well, do you want to build your life where I'm not the head? Where you're the head, because that's going to be a flipping disaster too good. It's kind of the way the Lord speaks to me. Might sound harsh to you, but it works for me, right? But let me just show you in the New Testament, because it's really cool, but you need to understand it as well, is that in John 17, last words are really important. You know, I don't know what my last words will be. I hope there's something deep and profound that marked my family for generations to come, and not... Did you switch the immersion off or something like that? Because that would be, what was the last thing your dad ever said to you? Switch them lights off, will you? And, or something like that. But here we get a little glimpse into Jesus, right? When he's praying, first of all, he prays for his disciples, then he prays for believers, and that's us. And he says this, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who believe in me through their message. Listen. This is Jesus. If you want to know what's really important to the Lord, look at what he prays for as he's just about to go to be crucified for you. As he's having that discourse between him and his father, that place of intimacy, and we get this beautiful view of Jesus talking to his father, and he reveals to us what's really important to him. Like what's really important to Jesus' heart for you. And actually, it's first for him, and then we can build our life on it. He says, I pray that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to what? Complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them just as you loved me. That, do you know what really blesses the Lord's heart? He loved it enough that whenever it says that, you can read it in whatever kind of version of the Bible you use, he prays for his disciples, those who were with him, and then he prays for all believers. And he goes, this is what really is on my heart. I want them to be in unity and I want them to be one. I can't have time to explain it, but he's talking about this. Not just, oh yes, we're one together, but I can't stand being with people. No, he's talking about this. Just to help you, it's really snowing outside now, okay? It's not crazy. It's the black horse, okay? Don't go all crazy charismatic on me, all right? It's just the way it's. In Matthew 16:8, it says this, and I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. And what will the gates of hell not prevail against? The church. But I am in the church because I'm saved. Universal. The application of the universal is the local. Right? You don't get one without the other. They both come as a package. And what did Jesus say? Look at it from the very beginning. The cross of Christ in the desert on the journey. When I look here, right, the gates of hell will not prevail against the gathering of God's people, centered and looking out and looking at Jesus. Right? But look at it in the new. In Acts 2:42, you get this wonderful insight as to why the church matters today in Belfast, South Africa, Holland, Switzerland, and beyond. One wee verse, but actually when you start to unpick it, it's incredible. Because in this one verse, what you see is why they gathered the way that they did. It's going to take me 5 minutes and then I'm done, okay? This is why they gathered the way that they did. Let's read it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Those prayers are praying in the Spirit, okay? When you look at the words. So think about this. Why when the Lord started the church in the New Testament? Because why am I in the New Testament? Think about the people in your world and everything that they are, everything that's going on with them. Think about the world that we live in today as we hurtle towards these end times. Think about those spirits that are operating around the world. And where do you find safety and solace and protection? Where do you find hope for your future? Well, actually, everything that the Lord asked them to do in the New Testament was exactly the same as what he had commanded in the Old. Let me show you it. Because if the white horse that the Lord said as he released the seals, all right, come on, you're going to laugh at that at some point, all right? Kyle, help a brother out, all right? It's false doctrine. People today are dying for the truth. So what did they do in the New Testament? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the gospel of grace. That's what they did. They gathered together to find that place of truth. Okay? And here's what's interesting. When they put their eyes on the teaching and they gathered together around the gospel, do you know what happened? They were safe and protected. It says then that they met for fellowship. All right? Fellowship is such a great Christian word, isn't it? I actually don't like it, but that's what it says, fellowship. It's, for me, it's a bit hackneyed. But what's interesting is the spirit of the world is division. The spirit of the world is offense. The spirit of the world is, you know what? Do you know where war starts? Because this horse represents war. But war starts way, way before somebody lifts up a plane or a gun. War starts in here. It's about division. What did Jesus pray? I want there to be unity. Why? Because unity is the power against division. The spirit that will operate in these last days is one which will divide people, will divide husband and wife, sons and fathers, mothers and daughters, and will divide people in the church. We shouldn't be surprised whenever we look at our own country and see this horse at operate. Division and war, where did it start? It started in here, and Jesus prays, I want you to gather and be one. What around? Around the gospel of grace. Because in unity, according to Jesus' prayer, there is safety and protection in troubled times. So that's what the apostles did. They gathered together for fellowship. All right? Because when we fellowship, when we live together and we spend our lives together, and when we do this together and we serve one another and we love one another, do you know what you, if you listened to me last week, do you know what happens in your world this week? You're safe. You have to take it in faith to go, when I prioritize the presence of Jesus and his church together, there is a protection and a grace on me and my family, which is not found outside it. Why? Because I am lining right up. We talk about lining up with Jesus and what he says. He prayed that they would be one. Why? Because he knew in the end times, the spirit that would come against that would be division. So they give themselves to the apostles' teaching, that which is true. Jesus, the great truth. In a world which knows no truth, people are dying for truth. And you know what? You know what the word says? The truth will set them free. Do you not see people just searching for freedom? Trying everything and anything to be free? Like, I'm not talking about able to do whatever you want. I mean, talking about real freedom on the inside. Like real freedom. You know what I mean? That sense of wholeness and completeness for people. The Lord put you in this church so that you gather week after week around the gospel. Then he said, meet together and have fellowship very quickly. And then he says, the black horse about lack and poverty, what did they do? Or do the pale horse, disease and death? They give themselves to the breaking of bread. And we've got to get a revelation of the Lord's table, communion. When there is disease and death, they gathered together. In Acts 2:46, it says they actually did it in their houses. Go read Acts 2:46. What did they do? They gathered together in houses. They broke bread. Why? Because the spirit of the age, what happens today is death and sickness and disease. But we believe in the table, when you come and you take that five times more meal, as Marcel described it to us, there is healing for your body. There is healing for your mind. All right? There's healing that even the world can't give you. Supernatural healing. I've seen it in my own family, from whether it's fertility to cancer to all sorts of stuff, healed. Why? Because he is the healer. So he says, gather in the church and break bread together. I talked about it last week. It's not just stuff. There's actual power whenever you break bread together, because the spirit of this world will be death, sickness, and disease. And the Lord says, that's why we take the supper together in the family of God. And you might be going, hold on, I feel like that one number, 123,640, somewhere down, I don't really understand it. Take it in faith and do what he asks you to do, and you'll live in the goodness of it. That's faith for me. I don't understand it all, but if he says it, I'm going to do it. Yeah? And the last thing is this. It's the black horse, isn't it? Lack and poverty. It's really interesting. It says, what did they do? They devoted themselves to prayers. Actually, they, in some, this, and with this, I'm finished. They devoted themselves to praying in the spirit. Isn't that awesome? If you don't have the gift of tongues, ask the Lord for it this week. Ask the Lord to fill you and receive the gift of tongues, because that is a gift given to you today, which comes against the very spirit of the age. See, when there's lack and there's poverty, that just doesn't mean in your physical surroundings. It means a lack and poverty of spirit. You can build yourself up and keep yourself in the love of God by praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. Isn't that amazing what they did in the New Testament church, mirroring what happened in Numbers? Oh, guys, can I just say, you're in the safest place you can be. The people in your world today, this will be, Exchange Church will be the safest home they will find. Why? Because whatever is going around on in the world today, and I could get into the detail, but I want you to see it in the big today. Whatever it is that they're facing, they searching for truth and freedom, being sick, feeling a division is all, do you know, the thing about division, can I just say this? Because I wanted to say this very quickly. And this, I am done. We have an epidemic of loneliness today. We're the most connected generation in the history of mankind. Yep, there's the highest prevalence of mental health issues. Okay? Suicide amongst young men. Right? And loneliness. There's the Times newspaper put like this. There's an epidemic of loneliness in the UK. Take the UK figures and multiply them by 25%, and then you get Northern Ireland. Crazy, right? Because division is all about that spirit of isolation, lonely, etc., lack of hope. And the Lord says, come into the family of God. You see, in every question that your people have, the answer is found in Jesus, where he is, he the head in the church. Does that not make you really excited for what you're called for? Does not make you excited today to think that because you have come here this morning, and because you've given your time this morning, because you've worshiped this morning, that there is a grace on you and your family for this week? Who says, yes, Lord, amen, I receive it. Who says, yes, Lord, because I'm in the family of God, where you are the head, I don't need to be afraid. As I say this, just say amen with me, okay, and agree. Because I am here this morning, Lord, there is healing for me. Amen. This week, there is safety for me and for my children. Amen. I am protected this week. Amen. I am blessed this week. Why? Because I am found where Jesus is the head. And wherever he is the head, I am under his authority. And his authority is the authority, the name above all names, whether under the earth, on the earth, or above the earth. No higher authority than Jesus himself. Amen. And that is where you are found. That is why we are a house of grace.